Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm.
I've been walking.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo.
My face turned to.
Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. I'm Sister Nelly Queen. Thank you all for joining us today. If you want to join the show, you can call in at 516-387-1549. Come on into the digital building. Get comfortable. We have a great, great show scheduled for tonight with some of my favorite people. I'm going to handle a little housekeeping, then I'm going to introduce our guest, and we're going to get right on into the show. If you want to call in, and like I said, after the guests have spoken, if you want to speak, just press 1, and you can join the conversation. First of all, we want to always say salute. Salute to our political prisoners, our elder comrades, our POWs that are still stuck behind those walls, held hostage, tortured, and murdered daily. We have to do better by them people. We have to reach out to these different organizations, the Jericho Movements, the Northeast Political Prisoners Coalition, Coalition for Prisoner Reform. These organizations are helping our political prisoners, our families that are wrongly and unjustly kept behind those bars. We have to do better by them. As long as they are held prisoners, we are going to always be pressed. I want to say salute to all the real grassroots black media platforms and all our sisters and brothers that are out here bringing us the news for us and by us, like Brother Noble and my family up in Colorado, Mile High News and Unity Community. We have a lot of different platforms that are doing the work. Support these brothers and sisters. Reach out, do what you can. And always salute to the Republic of New Africa, President Saa Myat, and Vice President Mama Ayo, and the Black Nation. Reach out, support, and become a part of it. All right, family, today we have some, like I said, some very special friends of mine, family. Ever since I've met these people, they have been genuine, real, 100%, always true. And I love them. This is my family. I just hate they're so far away. So we're going to start out the show with our brother King, Noble Turner, and my sister Queen Monique Turner will be joining us in a little while. Peace and power, Brother Noble. How you doing?
Doing great, sis. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love you, too. We got nothing but love for you here in the Mile High City.
Exactly. Like I told them, I said, shit, it feel like I know y'all, and we ain't never even seen each other. Except on social media.
Really?
But y'all family, man. Y'all the only ones that have been real, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that. And like I tell Sister Mo, every morning I be talking to her on the way to work. I love y'all. You see them. Y'all family. So, like I said, we're going to start the show out. And when Sister Mo come in, we'll join her in. So I want to start off today by, I want you to tell us about you, a little bit about Brother Noble. You know what I'm saying? What brought you to be the unapologetic brother that you are today? Your life, you know, your background. Give us a little of your history.
Well, pretty much I got into doing what I'm doing. Well, first of all, I'll introduce myself again. I'm Noble Turner. I am the creator of Mile High News out here in Denver, Colorado. I am the founder of Unity Community. Unity Community is a 40-acre plot that we are trying to build into the next Black Wall Street by any means necessary. Pretty much I have turned this into my life's mission, you know. I feel like I'm a pretty good father and a pretty good husband, and you know, I got my kids all, you know, off, and they're grown and doing their thing, you know what I'm saying? Well, I got a 16-year-old, but he's pretty much grown too, so. If he's on next week, y'all will see what I'm talking about. But you know, I just really got into this because I just saw no other way for our people, you know. I'm a big fan of Dr. Claude Anderson, and you know, after I read the book Black Labor, White Wealth, and Powernomics, you know, it really broke down to me what's really going on for us, and nobody's really offered a solution for it except for Dr. Claude Anderson. So, you know, I got into that, and I really figured that, you know, it was something that our people need. You know, it's something that we haven't tried yet because, you know, with the marching and protesting and stuff, you know, we've done that. And it's really getting kind of old. You know what I'm saying? It's for the last generation. This new generation really needs to build because this new experience is way more than any other generation. That's why I'm telling, talking to my son, my youngest one, you know, he kind of, you know, gets bored with school, and he kind of, you know, it really gets on his nerves, and he gets really sad sometimes because, you know, he's not able to connect with his friends and stuff like that. And, you know, I was telling him, we've never had anything like this to deal with when we were in, you know, high school and middle school and stuff. So it's really something to know and watch them grow and be able to get through this, because, you know, I never would have thought a damn plague would have, you know, came and stopped everybody from doing things, you know. And as for Unity Community, I was just starting it up when this coronavirus hit. So, you know, it was a blessing and a curse at the same time. But, you know, I'm staying forward, and you know, I'm keeping the pace of doing it, because it's really all I can do, you know. And I've always said that if I leave this earth, then, you know, I want to make sure that I do something to help my people. Even if it didn't fully help them, you know, what is that, my wife? Probably.
Exactly. And then Brother No, that's what I'm about to tell you. I said Sister Moen called in. So we want to welcome her to the show. How you doing today, sis? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm good. So sorry. I was trying to get out of here, and then I'm shuffling all around trying to put. I was like, I hope they can't hear me right now trying to put all this stuff away. Sorry about that. How y'all doing?
We doing great. Yeah, we can hear you. We doing great. We doing great. We just started, and Brother Noble was giving us a little of his background and what brought him to the unapologetic brother he is today. So since you chimed in, you come on and tell us what brought you into that unapologetic sister queen that stands by his side. Tell us a little bit about you.
So, and sorry, I'll start off by saying, excuse the honks or anything, because I am on my way driving home, so it might be a little blinkers and horns and stuff, so y'all excuse that, but you mean what brought me into consciousness, or just, I was running out to the car, so I'm a little out of breath, but.
It's all right.
So you mean what brought me into consciousness, or
just. Look, just slow down and take a breath for a minute. Just slow down, take a breath, you know, just say, Pusa, you know what I'm saying?
Pusa, right?
Now, just tell us about your background, your childhood, and what, you know, brought you to be the, who you are today. You know what I'm saying? So just take a breath and then start with it. Go ahead.
So as far as my childhood, I grew up in Denver. I grew up in what used to be a black community, and that kind of shaped me a lot. Well, not kind of. That shaped me a lot. You know, I had a lot of influence from my grandma, my great-grandma. You know, a lot of people aren't blessed enough to hang out and get to know their great-grandparents, but I was blessed enough to know my great-grandma, my great-grandpa, and so I always had a village. I was raised by a village. Now, growing up, you know, in Park Hill / Eastside, I got a little bit of both, and those from, you know, Colorado kind of know the difference between Eastside and Park Hill. And so growing up, you know, my grandma was big on Juneteenth. She was big on Black Arts Festival, and so that's where I think I get a lot of that from. My consciousness, it was always there, but, you know, being raised by my mom, she didn't really go to church. She wasn't really into, like, you know, she was just more so into her thing. It wasn't nothing, like, about black power or none of that stuff. So it took me a lot longer, you know. I was still cooning about 4 years ago, and then I started to read. I started to, look, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I didn't wake up till about 4 years ago. So, you know, and after that, I just started reading a lot of books. I just started watching a lot of Dr. Claude Anderson, and that's where me and my husband come in, because, you know, I start watching it, and then he start watching it, and I don't want to get all into the religion and stuff, but, you know, that's kind of where I kind of woke up and just started to see things a lot different, and, you know, didn't want my kids to really be raised in that, you know, so I'm trying to break that cycle, that generational curse. So
exactly. And look, I totally understand, because I'm telling you, I just got on Facebook in 2015. Do you understand me? And that's when I started learning my history. And that's crazy, because you grow up in a household and you don't know nothing about your history. My mom told me Malcolm X is a gangster. The Black Panthers are criminals. Don't think about them. Don't talk about them. And then I find out they the ones that were for, you know what I'm saying? So
right, yeah.
Like I said,
so I
kind of
grew up. You keep your head down, you just work hard, and you buy your house, you get your car, and you work the rest of your life, and you're good to go. That's
thank
all.
Thank you.
That's your
that's
goal.
All. Just be complacent. Fuck that shit. I think I was born. I came out the booty of field, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never been comfortable. You feel me? So I'm
going to
ask y'all
and this. That's the sad part that a lot of our people are learning their history until they get on social media, because they blocked it for so long, and they thought that we were just going to get on social media just cooning and acting it up and girls shaking their ass all everywhere, and they didn't know that we were going to use that as a tool for knowledge.
Exactly.
And knowledge is exactly what we were lacking. I mean, we're still lacking it now, but, you know, we're getting it in slow doses, but damn it, it's coming.
Thank you, because it's breaking the chains and some of them. Like I said, I always been that field nigga, but I didn't know why. You know what I'm saying? So then when I started learning about history, I said, I see why I hate they age. You feel me? So
sometimes it's just in you. You just know. It's just in you. Something just was never right, never felt right. And my dad was big on that, too. He didn't follow, like, that religion and all that stuff. His thing was F all of that. Own you something. Get you some land, you know. Make sure you work for yourself. Like, he was really big on that. He owned his own pool hall. He actually ended up owning two, but then he lost one of them. But he did. He believed in his own business and his owning his own. And so I got a lot of that from him.
And that's valuable. You see what I'm saying? Because as black people, we training our children to be their slaves. They're workers. You know what I'm saying? We got to teach our babies to have strength enough in themselves to be entrepreneurs. That's why I love you all, because of how unapologetic and black and powerful that you all are. It's our arm making those sacrifices. Even though you have to stay in the system, you still building outside of that system. You feel? So, like, some of the things like our families need to be working on right now, right? I love the way that y'all show and lead by the example with black love, right? Everything is not perfect. How do y'all do that? You know what I'm saying? How do y'all balance that black love and supporting each other, how you and Brother Noble do it so good?
Well, like you said, nothing is perfect. I mean, we definitely do have our ups and downs, but we grew up together. So we got to know each other a lot better because we grew up together. We were teenagers when we got together. We've been together, just celebrated 24 years in May, and married for 15 in August. And so we were able to grow together, so we were able to learn. But that could be hard, too, because you don't really know what you want, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish as you get older and growing together. So you kind of have your ideas, but you just merge them together. And so it's just worked for us, honestly. I mean, like I said, we do have our moments, but we're really in sync. We're on the majority of a lot of stuff, except for our kids. Those are the only thing that could really get us going. And, you know, I mean, it's the kids.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, we have a great relationship, but we did almost have issues speaking up, but it was just like we had to have a heart moment as far as disciplining the kids, because when you're first getting together and when you're a teen parent, you don't really know how you're going to discipline your kids. You don't really know what their background is, what your background is. I mean, kind of when you come together like us and at such a young age, so we had to learn each other, and we just talk a lot of stuff out. If I don't like something, I'm good about telling him, and I'm not, like, real shy, like, oh, we'll just go with the flow. I mean, I'm submissive in certain ways, but when if I have an opinion, he knows I will definitely tell him, and vice versa. And it's about listening and not just ignoring it and trying to work at it. And you just got to keep on working at it.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Noble, what's your view on it? Because, like I said, Brother Noble, y'all merged.
I'm not submissive.
Because y'all merged so good. You know what I'm saying? It's like perfect. You know what I'm saying? So I know it took time to work on this. So what's your sign on it, Brother Noble?
Well, yeah, like my wife said, you know, we've been together since we're teenagers, so we really got to grow up, and she really became my best friend. You know, I let all the, you know, gang banging and dope selling and stuff go, and then, you know, I was ready to settle down, and that's what you have to do. You have to be ready. You have to be ready for love. You know. And, you know, we just grew together. We do everything together. We think alike. Well, actually, at first, I was like a diehard Christian. So you know, when my wife came to me about, you know, this conscious stuff, I was like, you know, we can't have that. In the name of Jesus, we can't have that, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but she really sat me down, and she was probably going to be the only one that could really explain to me that, you know, what was going on, and that all that stuff was a lie. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I did my research on my own. But you know what I'm saying? As that spark, they say a spark creates a flame, and a flame creates a fire. You know, she's really the one that really brought that spark out in me. So it was really on the basis of, you know, if that's your wife, and you know that's your lifelong partner, she wouldn't be telling you that wrong. So it ain't not like she was trying to poison my brain or nothing, but. Like I said, when I did my own research, you know, it was a whole new world, and we both shared that world together. We're on some different levels now, you know, because I'm straight, you know, I'm about it and about building, and you know, my wife is more of a spiritual person, but you know, we still merge as coming together and building our own, you know, and I think that's what a lot of couples have. You can build your own for yourself and your family, but don't forget about the diaspora. Don't forget about all the rest of us too, because you know that's where communities and that's where we're building first with families. You know, I can't do this at all without families. You know, exactly. And what I was inspired by was the 19 families in Georgia that are building land out there. You know, and they said that they couldn't do it if they didn't have that family structure, because without that family structure, there is no structure at all, because they've been trying to tear that down for centuries. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so we, us keeping that up and keeping that cycle going, you know, that is actually a help in itself to our people, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people have to get on. We're missing the relationship aspect of our people, you know what I'm saying? Because I think only families will be able to get us out of this, you know what I'm saying, the strength of family, and not just family that you created, family that, that we are supposed to be as one, as a whole race, you know?
Yes, as family. We are family, exactly. And that's why I love the dynamics that you all bring into it, because y'all have this family dynamic, the strength of the mama, the daddy, and the children, you know what I'm saying? And that black powerful dynamic. Because, Brother No, that's what I wanted to ask you, being a former gang member, right? And looking at these youth and stuff that's going on today, I mean, they practically have lost their mind. You see what I'm saying? They're killing our own children, doing all this other shit. We don't have that code anymore, right? What would be some words of advice that you would give to these young dudes out here now, coming from you having a background in their lifestyle?
Well, me, coming from really being a former gang member and I was out there doing all the same thing, you just have to really recognize when it's time to stop, you know, and that's why I always got to bring credit back to my family, because, you know, if it wasn't for them, you know, I probably would still be in it, you know, in it to win it and doing what I was doing, you know, but I sat down and, you know, I figured I have a son to take care of, you know, and then I had another son and another son to take care of. But, you know, my first son, he's really the one who really got me to stop doing all that, because, you know, you have to really sit down. And that's what I would tell young brothers nowadays, man, find something that you love and go hard for it. And if it's the gang, okay. But, you know, let that gang be a gang of y'all, you know, trying to find some empowerment or some, you know what I'm saying, some kind of, get behind some kind of a cause, you know what I'm saying? Because we call them gangs and stuff now, but, you know, that's how pretty much the civil rights movement and everything, even the Panthers, they were a gang, you know what I'm saying? It's just a focus that you have to shift, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the Crips could still be Crips, and the Bloods could still be Bloods, and the Vice Lords could still be Vice Lords or whatever, but shift your purpose on what you are doing, you know what I'm saying? Because that unit, that unity that they have in it, that's what we need, you know what I'm saying? It's all the other bullshit is what we don't need. So, you know, I could never knock a gang member as in the terms of being together as a unit, you know, I can knock them, of course, for, you know, the killing our people and, you know, all that. But, you know what I'm saying? Keep that unit mind state. You know what I'm saying? Keep that unit mind state, but just shift the focus onto your people, you know? And
exactly.
That's what I really think that could really do some change, you know what I'm saying? Because when the shit hits the fan, we're gonna need all of them, all the people that they call thugs. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need them on the front line, you know?
Thank you. They're going to be some of our first soldiers. And we're going to need some of these coons. You feel me? That's what people don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to need all of us. Because we're going to have to put those differences aside and ride on the fact that we are black people. That's what they not understand. So, Sister Mo, this is what I want to ask. We both got teenagers, right? It's going through this crazy shit that's going on right now. They angry at us. They pushing back, right? So I want to know, what are some things that you are doing that's keeping it together? Because I'm telling you, man, I'm having a hard time to even motivate my baby because they hate what's going on.
Right. I think we really just got to know that as teenagers, I mean, we got to honestly think back to when we were teenagers and how we rebelled and how we had our own mindset. We thought we were grown before we were grown, and a lot of us didn't listen. But you may not have been listening then, but as you got older, you kind of started to listen. Like, my grandma used to say all the time to me, she would, you know, tell me, don't do this and don't be around them. And every time she told me that and I went against it and I was still with my cousins or my friends, those friends that she told me not to be around, something would happen. And so that's what made me start kind of listening. And so I think that we just have to be open and talk to our kids. We have to let them express themselves, tell us how they're feeling, and then try to help them get past it. I think a lot of parents, it's just, they are just authoritative. They want to tell them, just do this, do that, and you never give your kids an opinion. You never let them, you know, tell you how they're feeling. And so if you open up, like me, us, we talk to our kids about everything. We even have moments where we're just in our room and they'll come in and we'll just have a discussion. And it's, how was your day? What's going on? How do you feel about this? Like, talking to them. Because back in my day, like, my grandma talked to me a lot, but my mom, she didn't have time to talk. It was working. And, you know, sometimes she was just so tired that she don't want to do nothing but come home and go to bed. And sometimes I was like that myself. And then I think during this pandemic, it really brought me and my family and my kids a lot closer, because it gave me that time to sit down and talk to them and find out what's going on. It's not just do this, do that, and that's it. Let your kids open up, and sometimes they're just so scared to even talk to you. That's how they end up keeping that stuff inside, or they're talking to the wrong people, or that's how they get into those kind of situations. So we actually have to let them speak up, speak their mind. You may not like what they're going to say, and at the end, you are the parent, so you are going to tell them what they're going to do, but at least you got to, they felt like they were heard. You got to hear them out. And sometimes what you thought wasn't the right thing, you're like, well, I didn't have to go so hard on them, because they get it.
Yeah, that's some good advice, because I promise you, this pandemic has set me down and made me learn how to communicate with my baby better. You see what I'm saying? Because we were here together.
Yeah.
We couldn't do nothing. We were right here together. So we had to learn how to talk to each other, or we were going to kill each other in this month. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I appreciate that. That's some great advice. And then, like I said, and then, Brother Noble, this is what I want to ask you. I'm so impressed by what you have started with Mile High News and Unity Community, right? And I'm so proud to be a member and a part of this family, right? And I'm here for the long haul. So I want you to, you know, give us some more about the vision and tell us about what the growth has been going on. Because, brother, I'm telling you, you and Sister Mo, y'all are the ones that keep me pushing forward. You feel me? Because I appreciate what y'all, the work that y'all are doing. So give us some updates and tell us what's going on. And like I said, talk to us about Unity Community Mile High so that these people can support. They need to support us.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's right. Well, how it really all started for me, I was trying to figure out. Yeah, so really how it started off was Mile High News. So how I started off Mile High News is, you know, I was really trying to get the message out that we needed to, you know, build something for ourselves. And I was talking to a brother, Brother Cedric, and he told me, he was like, man, you're not going to be able to do this unless you have a platform. So, you know, I kind of thought about it, and, you know, I definitely want to give shout out to my son Jaheim. You know, he used to do like video vines on the YouTube and stuff. So I sat there and was watching the stuff. Like, man, I mean, it's cool what you were doing, but you know, he was kind of doing, you know, like goofy stuff and little skits and stuff. So I'm like, man, you can put those camera skills to work, and you know, I definitely got something to say, and my wife got something to say. So we started. Before Mile High News, we started our show. It's called the AMO Show. And, you know, just me and my wife on there just having regular conversations like we usually do is because we just put it on live. So, you know, we had a major death in the family, and then after my wife, that's why she wanted to stop. We lost her grandmother. You know, she was a pillar in my wife's life. So, you know, she kind of got bummed out for that. So while she was resting and, you know, on a hiatus, you know, I started Mile High News, and I got a couple of brothers together that I know are pretty, you know, impactful in the Denver community. So I got them together, and we started Mile High News. You know, I had already been trying to start Unity Community with there's a town called Deerfield here in Colorado. Deerfield is one of the first black settlements, not just in Colorado, but it was one of the first black settlements in the nation, in the United States. So, you know, I was working with their chair people, and, you know, I was trying to get the old city Deerfield. I was trying to, you know, get that revitalized, and I was trying to turn that into a black community. And, you know, this and that happened. We had some coons on the board, and, you know, stuff wasn't going right. They didn't feel that it should be all black, even though the guy who founded it and built it with his own hands is what he wanted. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there was a lot of shady stuff going on there. So we finally found some land. It was in Alamosa, Colorado. And we purchased the land. So we have 40.2 acres. And, you know, I've always admired Black Wall Street. And, you know, there was other places that did what Black Wall Street did too, but Black Wall Street was pretty much the most, I should say, famous. So, you know, I always admired what they were doing, and, you know, even though they were bombed, it really made me think, like, well, that happened over 100 years ago, you know what I'm saying? So it's time for our generation and our era to do that again, you know, because we are way more armed than they were back then, and we're way more knowledgeable, you know what I'm saying? So I went ahead and I started Unity Community, and a quick update, we are a nonprofit corporation now, so we are trying to get some funds for that. We're starting off with the youth retreat, and we want to get some of the youth up there, and we want to have teach them about, you know, agriculture and camping, and we're going to have some firearm training, and just everything so they can know that, you know, just that city, that gentrified city that you're from, and the racist, prejudiced city that you're from, that's not all that you can succumb to, you know. There is places out there where you can, you know what I'm saying, really be a kid and really learn. And I'm not talking about learn like Christopher Columbus and that dumb stuff like that. I'm talking about actually learn black history and learn how to sustain a community, learn how to be an effective part of the community. So that's what we're currently on now.
Okay, all right. That's that, and I love it. please keep me informed about the youth retreat, because we'll probably be coming their way. I need to do some of them kind of cakes and all that just so. So keep me informed about that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so, Sister Mo, and I... exactly. Sister Mo, I know that, you know, and with your you supporting your husband, right, sometimes we have to stay in this system and play those games, right, so that we can help fund it and different things like that. So I know that coming from your aspect on it, on this side, right, talk about how you, you know, you handle that aspect of the con. A lot of people are like, I will work with you. And then we got to work. We got to get some money some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Who going to fund the revolution?
Right.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
So honestly, I do get a lot of people look at me crazy. They're like, you talk the way you talk, and you talk about having your own. But like you said, we do have to still be in the system until we can get our own. So for me, I am working towards, so before I would just work to pay bills. Now I'm actually working towards something. I am working towards knowing that we're going to own our own land, knowing that we want to build up our own house on our own land eventually, knowing that we want to grow our own fruits and vegetables and all of that stuff. But I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of hard work. And it sometimes it can get to the point where you do want to give up. And I'm not going to lie, I have had my points where I was just like, okay, this is going on for too long. We should just focus on us. And it, because it is a lot, and when you're giving your all and you don't see people wanting to, you know, join in and help and, you know, at least, you know, not even so much financially, but coming in and even willing to get their hands dirty, willing to actually go up to the land and, you know, watch it while you're not able to and while you're working. And so I'm not going to lie, like, it's easy. And, you know, we don't have, me and him don't bump heads, especially, you know, 2 years ago when I lost my grandma, I really was ready to just give it all up. Like, this ain't even working. Nobody wants to do it. This is crazy. Like, how long are we going to do this? So 4 years in, like, me and my husband, we always knew we wanted land. Like, that was the biggest thing. Even when I was waking up, he took it and he advanced it. So I was on the level that, you know, okay, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't, you know, want to worship. Okay, so, sorry, let me back up. This is maybe going back too, but when I say that I didn't believe in Jesus and my husband, like he was saying he was going to leave me, which was the only thing that was going to make us break up because, you know, we've been through so much that there wasn't really nothing that could break us, but that was one thing because of how he was raised. I was raised in a church, but I wasn't a Christian. My mom wasn't a Christian, so I wasn't forced down my throat like that. So for him, it was really serious. Like, I will leave you if you don't believe in Jesus. But as you're growing, so I didn't believe in a white Jesus no more, because that's always what you saw and what you heard. So it was like, not necessarily I don't believe in Jesus. It was just I don't believe in a white Jesus. And then, of course, that, you know, progress to me just being a spiritual person, knowing that I do have a creator, because some people will mistake it and think you don't believe in God, you don't believe in a creator, you know, you know. So once we got past that, we knew we wanted land, we knew we wanted our kids to work for themselves, even though they still will have to go through the school system, and our two oldest did graduate. So, you know, we had to go through the system, they have to go through the system. But one thing I learned is you could go through the system, but you can take it and you can use it for something else. And so now, even though I am still on the slave ship, and even though I am still working for the white men and I don't have my own, that's what I'm working towards. And so that makes it. And then even just having that support system, like, some people are with their mate and they don't even like them, let alone want to be around them. Like, I even have family members, they don't want to be around their mates. And I think that you should like your mate. You should like your partner. I mean, you don't have to do everything together. We're a rare breed. So we do a lot of stuff together. I have family members who won't even go out to a club with their mates or their husbands, or and we go out together, we have a good time, we travel and all of that. And so there's nothing that could come between that, because we're just best friends. Like he said, he is my best friend. But sometimes it does become a lot, and it can put a strain on your relationship. So I don't want people to think it's just easy and we're just perfect and, you know, we don't have no problems or none of that. We have problems like everybody else. We argue like everybody else. But I think if you love that person and you genuinely enjoy being with that person and you have, like, the same goals, and so, okay, maybe I didn't want the community and that kind of thing, but I knew we wanted land and I knew we wanted to own our own. And then that just snowballed into the whole community thing. And, you know, it's a slow process, but just knowing that every day when I am going to work, I know that I am working towards owning my own, having my own land, having my own house where I'm not in a 50-year plan or a 50-year mortgage or 60-year mortgage, and I'm not just stuck in that. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. Look, you answered it the way you needed to answer. I have a brother that one of my favorite brothers, he's joining us. So I'm going to let him join in and call and introduce you all to him. Brother Noble and Sister Mo, this is Brother Malik. He's from Cali. He's the truth. Brother Malik, this is my favorite family up in Colorado, Brother Noble and Sister Mo. How y'all doing?
Peace, brother.
Peace and black queen and king. How y'all brothers and sisters doing? Millie Queen, thank you again for letting me join your show, this time as a guest call-in. I just wanted to let the nobles know that I am a licensed 501(c)(3), well-traveled grant writer, licensed in 3 states here in Cali, Florida, and Georgia. And anything that I can do to reach out and help you all, I'm willing to do that.
I'm sorry,
that.
Bro. You kind of blanked out a little bit. Will you cut your license what?
He's
I
a
says
grant
I'm
writer.
A licensed grant writer. 501(c)(3) nonprofit. Right. 3 states, Florida, Georgia, here in California. And I'm calling in as a supporter of not just the show, not just Sister Millie Queen, but a supporter of my people because of the love that I have for my people. Uh-huh. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, Sister Turner was speaking about how it's government affiliated and it's like not really having your own. It's kind of hard to have a nonprofit organization because it's strictly based on government issues, state and federal tax ID numbers. So the moment that you apply for tax exempt, which is pretty much what it is, then as long as you are accountable for every copper penny and every paper dollar, every I is dotted, every T is crossed, it's not an issue because we all have to start somewhere. And believe it or not, there are a lot of pro-black organizations that are nonprofit, which is basically saying you're funded by the state and federal government. And the only exemption to that is when you're dealing with state and federal tax exempt, it can't be gender-based, it can't be race-based. This is something that Sister Millie Queen and I have spoken about many times. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And in terms of supporting each other, one of the biggest problems we have, Brother and Sister Turner, and just please take this to heart, is that the deconstruction of the black family and things that cost us to separate or to be separated and remain separated. In my 25 years of traveling the world, speaking to our people all over the country, politics and religion are the deal breakers in terms of continuous to this day. being a reason that black people cannot unite. And it's the least, it's one of the biggest problems also that we have in relationships and marriages. And so all I can tell you from my experiences is the best way to deal with that problem is to respect each other's differences. I have a beautiful black woman in my life who respects my religious principles, whatever they may be, because the moment that you get outside of that, you're going to always have a problem. And the reason why it's not a problem for me, the reason why it's not a problem for her, because I don't care what God she prays to, I don't care who she calls you, and vice versa. I'm just happy to know that she's spiritually connected, and that's good enough for me. So thank you all for listening. I'll be right here if you have any questions. I just wanted to chime in. I've been listening to the show, offer my services to you, and give you my my 2 cents worth. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I'm going to definitely get his info because we definitely need a grant writer. So.
Exactly.
So let me say this, and you get off the air. I'll just continue to listen. I can be found on Facebook, or you can go to Easy Route, get my information from Sister Millie Queen, and we can go from there. I'm here in California, and anything that I can do in helping you under the nonprofit, including starting from scratch, bylaws, you know, your executive board, how it works, what does grant writing consist of, and all you're really trying to do is get your program funded, and it'd be funded based on how it's run. You know, salaries of each employee. You have what's called an operation cost. Operation costs can include, Brother and Sister Turner, say you rent a house to run your business, whatever it may be. The rent, the mortgage for that house is just simply written into a grant for a 12-month period. Because just like anything else government-funded, food stamps, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, you have to be recertified every year. So I just wanted to throw that out there and let you guys know. But again, if there's anything that I can do, any questions, I'm not a lawyer. I don't charge for picking up when I answer my phone and folks have nonprofit questions. If I can help my people, I'll do it freely and happy because I'm always happy to see us get ahead in whatever that we're trying to do. So be encouraged and don't let naysayers, because we all need help, and nonprofit is the way to go. I mean, because you're just simply begging for money. That's what you do. That's what I do.
Right.
I find money that people need to run their daily operations under nonprofit organizations, which just simply means you're tax exempt. However, you're not allowed again to take the money and do whatever with it that you want. So back in the day, you know, for instance, I get phone calls, Mr. Muhammad, can you write me a grant so I can remodel my house? No, it doesn't work that way. You have to be given something back, accredited, and given something back. And again, every nickel, every dime, every penny, every quarter, just like your taxes, just like any other business, has to be accounted for, because you have to remember, it's like SSI. It's like food stamps. It's like Medi-Cal, Medicaid. For those that haven't paid into it, it's free money. And so stipulations and restrictions come with it. And one of the main ones and one of the biggest ones that we have problems with in the nonprofit industry is people thinking you can take the money and do whatever the hell you want. It absolutely, positively does not work that way. And every and just like we can give you that tax ID number, it can be taken away.
Exactly. And we sure appreciate that, Brother Malik. We surely appreciate that. Now, I'm going to get that information to you, Brother Noble, so that you all can connect. And thank you.
That's why I started this, because within a community, you have these people with different skills and different talents, you know. And I'll tell you, just speaking for me, you know, I'm getting into this. But I don't know too much about the, you know, the hard parts and the, you know, the legalities of it. You know, to tell you honestly, I'm a former gang member, former dope dealer. You know what I'm saying? I woke up and is ready for some liberation. So any way or anyhow I can get taught or I can teach, I accept it. I appreciate you too, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Just
I
want to
say thank you too. Yeah. Sorry, I'll let you go ahead and go, and then I'll say something.
Oh, no. I was just going to tell your husband that, you know, it's okay to be a former gang member and dope dealer because we all have our past. It's not where you came from. It's remembering where you came from, but then making the sacrifices, being and being focused and having discipline to go where you know you're trying to go. And so I commend you for sharing that with you, brother. But speaking religiously, one of the good books says, judge not and ye shall not be judged. So where you're coming from is important because it's only a part of your history. It's just a chapter in your book of life. At the end of the day, the final chapter will be you have shared with the people the journey that you have made, starting with the first chapter, ending with the last chapter, showing us where you came from, the obstacles that you went through, the peaks and valleys, the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the ins and outs. But at the end of the day, Brother Turner, it's always, always about where you end up. Always about where you end up. So, yes, I don't discriminate in terms of here. I'm pro-black, but I don't say, well, you have a prison record, I can't help you. I used to be in the Nation. I had several positions in several pro-black organizations, including being a former West Coast regional representative of the New Black Panther Party under the late, great Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And I'm saying that to say that you don't always agree with principalities, even of organizations that you are a part of. And overwhelmingly, majority of organizations that I've been affiliated with, most of those brothers and sisters overwhelmingly have a past. And so the only reflection of their past is showing where they are in the future and in the present. I'm just being encouraging, brother, because we don't need to beat up on each other. We don't need to judge each other. Because remember, black people, we have two strikes against us every day that we wake up, we open our eyes and are blessed with the new gift of life. Even if we never cross the threshold of our front door and go outside, walking inside the comfort of your own home, you're black and whatever your gender is, all the way down to innocent babies, men, women, and children, 8 to 80, blind, crippled, or crazy. So that third strike do not need to be your brother or your sister fighting against you, because when you've done the kind of work that I've done for the majority of my adult life, traveling all over the world, trying to educate our people in the ways that I can, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But you have to remain focused. You have to be vigilant. And you have to understand, again, your past doesn't matter other than being a chapter of your book. It's always about how the book ends in the final chapter, where you are, and more importantly, what it took for you to get there. So I'm going to get out of here in terms of speaking. Thank you all for letting me be a listening ear. I'm a big fan of Sister Millie Queen. I'm a regular as a guest on her show at least once a month, once every other month. So she knows who I'm dealing with. And if you don't, we can hook up on Facebook. And if you can read and recognize, then it doesn't take you long to find out exactly who you're dealing with Brother El Malik Abdul Muhammad, a.k.a. The Truth. Thank you, Millie Queen. Love you, sister. Full support.
Thank you, bro.
brother, sister
thank you,
Turner.
Thank you. Thank
looking
you.
Forward to hearing from you, okay? Absolutely.
Yes,
looking
thank
forward
you
to hearing
for that. Definitely. We will definitely be in touch. And I like that you said that about your wife, that you just love that she was spiritual, because I think that's what separates us. Not only as a people, it breaks up really good relationships. You can see a couple together, and they're great together. They're compatible. They enjoy spending time with each other, and then religion will come in or just certain beliefs. And so I think that it does not have to dictate your relationship, and we need to get religion out of it, period, because I think that you can grow together and love each other and not be the same religion, even though a lot of people think you can.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. And we have another brother. His name is Wade Busy. He's from California as well. He wanted to add a comment to the show. Like I said, y'all brought some guests on today. Thank y'all.
Wow. No, this is nice.
All right. Brother Wade Busy, come on in and introduce yourself. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing better than most, worse than a few. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's all good. It's good. It's good. And I look at my back and my past, you know what I'm saying? I look back at my past, and I'm just blessed with people in my life that were a lighthouse, if you will. So they lit up my world so I could see what they was talking about. One of my old friends back in the day when I was doing time in the penitentiary, I ran into this cat. His name was Geronimo Pratt. You know Geronimo Pratt? He was a Black Panther back in the day in the 60s.
Oh, yes. We know Geronimo.
Okay. Well, I ran into Geronimo Pratt back in the day, you know, when he was had Johnny Cochran as his attorney. And we was talking, you know, because I ran into dude, you know, we was talking in prison and everything. And what he was talking about really struck me and has been a light in my life that has allowed me to see what he was talking about in a way that made a difference. And it's still doing it right now, right now. And he basically told me without saying anything, because I don't like tell people what he was talking about, because it's really something that's just going to show up in what I'm doing, actually, you know what I mean? And what he was showing me was that being a father is the most important thing you could ever do, is be a father. And I said, man, I was like, he told me one day, he goes, what do they call you, man? I told him what they said, you know, and everything. He goes, well, I'm gonna call you Too Cool from the Old School, because when you talk real talk, and it helps me to talk real talk with you. And I was like, man, thank you. I appreciate you, man. I really do. And we had, and then I remember the day that he went in to go get interviewed by 60 Minutes because his Johnny was going to get him out of there. He already got OJ out. Now he's getting Homeboy out. Homeboy had been there for like 20 motherfucking years. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah.
That is true. The best thing is to be a father, not just a father, to be a great father, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what my dad always told me. Like, just as long as I was a better father to me than my father was, I mean, as long as I was a better father to you as my father was to me,
amen,
then,
bro.
You know, you're doing something, and that's where my aim is at. My aim is
man.
To be a better father than my father.
You
know?
Yeah, and I see that, Brother Noble, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, too, as being a Black father of three boys in 2021, right? And you have the success stories that you have. How did y'all do that? You see what I'm saying? Because that is a great thing. Being a Black father during this time and standing strong and being unapologetic with your skill. And you got all three boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. You know, I love it. I see different parts of me in them on how they act and to how they react. And, you know, I know how to come at them. know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was a real young father, too. You know, me and my wife, like we said, we've been together 24 years. And, you know, we had our first child when I was 16, and my wife was 17. So, you know, I pretty much got to grow up with it, you know what I'm saying? And the mistakes I would make, just right around the corner, they would be making them. You know what I'm saying? I had that advice there to have for them. You know, my major goal is to not perpetuate the cycle of one out of three young black men will see the grave or jail before they turn 18. You know, we had a little minor scare there, but, you know, I've pretty much done that. You know what I'm saying? I still got 2 years to go with my youngest one, but that is my mission in life, too. You know what I'm saying? Is to keep them out of jail, keep them out of that system, because I was in and out of them. I committed my first felony when I was 13 years old. You know what I'm saying? Selling crack on the little avenue here. But you know what I'm saying? I'm glad that my kids don't even have to think about that. And me myself, I really didn't have to either, because I had my dad in my life and my mom. You know what I'm saying? But you know, there's certain situations, circumstances to where, you know, I want to be down. I want to be from the hood. And you know what I'm saying? I'm getting outside influences. That just, you know, that made me want to do that. But you know, saying, as long as I keep those outside influences from my son, I think they'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to make sure of it by hook or crook, you know?
Yes.
Can I piggyback off of that?
Yes, go ahead.
Can I piggyback off of that, too?
Uh-huh.
So, to me, to me, I think that it's okay to keep a tight hold on your kids. So sometimes we grow up and we grow up with a lot of freedom. Like, I know I grew up with a lot of freedom. And so you kind of did what you wanted to do. And it didn't make it right, but you just did that stuff because you had a lot of freedom. And so some parents think, oh, I don't want to keep a tight hold on them. I got to give them freedom. I got to let them go out with their friends and stuff. And that was the difference between what we did with our two oldest versus our youngest. And I see where me pushing that, give them freedom, let them do this, let them do that, and you really don't know what they're doing. And that's how he ended up in trouble. So to mothers, if there's a father there and he's disciplining those kids and he is pushing, or he's saying, no, you shouldn't do this, because he already been there. He's already done that. And when it comes to boys, us moms, sometimes we want to baby them and then we want to let them do what they want to do. But if that father is trying to discipline them and is in their life and saying, no, they shouldn't do this, don't fight them on that, because that's what I did. And I'm like, I have freedom and you should give him freedom. But I think we gave him too much freedom. And so with our two oldest, not that they couldn't go nowhere and do nothing, but it's just we were more stern. We had to know where you're going, who you're with, how long you're going to be there, who's picking you up, who's dropping you off. And so I was a little more lax when it came to our youngest, and that's when he ended up getting in trouble. So I do want to say to mothers, if there is a father in the house, and also if there isn't, as a mother you have to play both roles, right? So you got to be the mom and you got to be the daddy, and so you can't give them too much freedom. It's okay for your kid to not be out there doing all that stuff, or just be out there and you don't know what they're doing. And so keep a tight hold on your kids.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing, because like when we were growing up, my mom knew where I was. Like I told them, man, we didn't know nothing about no peas and different things like that. Because the grandmother sat on the porch and they watched the children while we played in the yard. If some pigs hit that corner, my uncle then was at that corner. What the fuck y'all want? What y'all want, pigs? You know what I'm saying? So the father, the men took care of the communities, whether they were their wives, or what, they were just sisters in the community. They made sure the grandmothers didn't mess with it. We got to get back to that code. You know what I'm saying? Man, I have enjoyed this show today. I want each one of you, even you, Way Blizz, Busy, I want each one of y'all to get a closing together for me. We're going to start out with Way Busy, then we're going to end with Brother Noble and Sister Mo, because they got some plans for tonight. And we're going to go on and get off this show. Brother Way Busy, join us next week. We're here every week, Fridays, 5 p.m. Central. Standard Time, the Truth and Power Corner. So I'm going to let you all go. Like I said, thank you all for joining us today. I have loved this conversation. Most definitely. We're going to get it back. And Brother Nova, I want you to get together your contact information as well so that you can give it to the people, okay? So Brother Way, please go ahead and give us a closing. And then I'm going to let you go ahead and sign out, and then I'm going to talk to Brother Noble and Sister Mo.
Okay, so I go first?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to say that, you know, thank you for sharing, because you've inspired me to share more about what's really going on with the whole thing, you know. Yeah. What we're talking about, you know what I mean? And I know we're talking about responsibility. We're talking about responsibility. I don't care what color you are, what shape you are, what, you know, what color eyes your mama has. I don't really care about none of that. Look it. You have to take responsibility no matter what you look like. And when you take a responsibility for your actions, that's because you were able to learn something. And when mama and daddy brought you in this world, they was putting everything they wanted their baby to know into their baby, because when their baby gets to be around 7, 8 years old, that baby gets a mind of its own. You know, it gets a little stiff neck at you. And you get to teach your baby the difference between right and wrong, because you know when your baby grow up to be responsible for its own actions, you got to put your baby on something solid. You can't put it on the sand and expect life to come at your baby and beat your baby up because you didn't do it the right way. You got to go back and take some responsibility. Y'all don't know what you're talking about. You got to do this, man. Look, I know we all make mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable. We're all going to make them. But at the moment of realization that you made a mistake or that you're about to make a mistake, you got an opportunity to do the right thing. You know, so let's just do that, and let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, man. It ain't rocket science.
All right, now, Way Busy. All right, now, Way Busy. Now, you talk. And now you talk to Korea. We got to take responsibility for our children. We got to take responsibility for our children. So you did just speak some truth, and I appreciate it. Like I said, join us again next week. And we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right? Peace and power.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about love. You know, I ain't playing no game. I'm talking about love. Game over. Love is what we're talking about. I ain't changing anything. I'm going to keep it like this. You understand what I'm saying?
All right. Most definitely. All right, Sister Mo and Brother Turner, like I said, y'all brought up some fire today. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. You know it's always a pleasure, Melly. It's always a pleasure.
I love y'all, man. And like I said, this has been a great conversation. So go ahead and give us a closing, Sister Mo. And like I said, Brother Noble, I'm going to let you close out and get your contact information together so they can reach out and support. And y'all, welcome back. Like I said, next week, join us because we will have Brothers Jaheim, Jahad, and Jalen as our guests. All right, now. Go ahead, Sister Mo. Y'all know them.
Like I said, I love Sister Melly, and thank you for having us on. And to my people, I love y'all, and just keep doing your best. And if something ain't working, then sometimes you have to change things up, but let's just love on each other, like the brother just said. We have to love on each other, and so just that unconditional love for your people. Like the other brother said, I know that you're not going to be able to. So basically what I got from what he was saying is you can't gear something to us, by us, for us. You have to go around all of that and then maybe bring it back to that, hopefully. If not, you know, we're going to get with him at a later date. But to my people, I love y'all, and just keep doing your best. And let's just get out of this old mindset, old mentality that all black people aren't no good and look at how they're killing each other and all of this stuff. And we got to get all that stuff out the way. And with the religion, we got to get that out the way. And I think we're going to be great. I really do see it. I see a shift. I see a turn coming. And I see my people doing great things in the future. And I love y'all, and y'all take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Mo. All right, Brother Noble, come on with it.
Definitely. I want to thank you, Sister Melly Queen, for having us on. I really appreciate everybody for listening. And I just want to leave out with one thing. I want to make sure our people understand. I mean, yeah, we need the love. Yeah, we need all this. But first and foremost, family, we need land. Buy land. And that's what I'm going to tell everybody. The way that, just like how my wife was just talking about how this thing is going to shift, it never shifts to the good for us. You know what I'm saying? So we have to stay prepared. We have to stay together. Family, you know what I'm saying? And like I always say, it's not going to be all of us. But if we can get that certain few, we will change the whole trajectory of where we're going as a people. So make sure you guys get with Mile High News. Come check us out. We're on every Wednesday at 8 on Facebook and YouTube. Please support Unity Community. We are building the next Black Wall Street. If you want to support, please go to GoFundMe, Unity Community, or you can go to Cash App. And on Cash App, it is $ Unity Community 2021. So if you want to join the private Facebook page of Unity Community, it's going to be $5, at least $5 a month. But you know what I'm saying? It's going towards something that is going to change it. You know, if you can buy your coffee or whatever you do every day, you can do this. You know what I'm saying? We can do this, family. You know, it's going to be pretty much the clock's going to be up. The clock's going to stop ticking on us here in a minute. You know what I'm saying? And we have to do something to survive this, because what's coming is going to be something that we've never seen before. We already had something that we've never seen before with this coronavirus and stuff. You wait till this next wave comes. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to end this with buy land. Peace. Love y'all.
Exactly. Peace and power. I appreciate y'all. Like I said, support Unity Community and Mile High News. Support the Republic of New Africa. We are a black nation. Like I said, we are building. We have to join together and connect together. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what you're going after. If you black and you look like me, we got to stand together. You need God dang on coons. You feel me? We got to get this right for our babies. I'm tired of handing down chains of oppression. I have loved you all being here today. Thank you all. Like I said, the Truth and Power Corner, we appreciate you all. I love y'all. And like I said, keep me informed about the retreat, because we will be up in Colorado. Even though I don't like the cold, I like some cookies. You feel me? So, y'all have a great evening. I love y'all. Peace and power. Thank you all, Black family. Black power.
If I could change my color, sometimes I think if I could change my color, but what I wanna be. They say the whiter the brighter, you black, you a fighter. 401 years of oppression, but still managed to pull up in that 2020 Tesla. That's good credit, right? Gotta keep your hustle tight. Take care of your kids, cause that karma hit. And I ain't got no daughters, but I wish I did. These little boys I got, I swear they gotta be militant. Yeah, cause these they killing. And I'll be damned if a could take mine on some racist. That's why I teach about black facing. And the KKK, that's something we can't escape. Yeah. Escape. Son, they don't like you cause you black. Son, they gon' judge you from the start. Son, don't want no hate up in your heart, but you gotta move smart. They gon' judge you cause you dark.
Mama, they really had kids in the field. They don't care how it feels. Slavery paid the bills. Mama, this is no more design for us to fail. How you give a man freedom but don't give a man a bill? Well, mama, what happened to 40 acres and mules? The only time they respect us is when we keep them amused. Wait, blackface? Why they making us a patch it up. We're gonna need for something to prove. We gotta think harder, we gotta be smarter. They said by the third grade, if I can't read, I'ma be just on my father. And that's incarcerated. What happened to proclamation emancipation? I gotta learn all my history. Yeah. It's a mystery. My teacher keep on bringing up slaves, that's what she dissing me.
Listen, a wise man once said, education is a passport to the future. But tomorrow belongs to who prepared for it today.
Back in the days, I used to wanna be the cop.
I remember.
The good guy, till Rihanna got stopped. I couldn't imagine my mama is all I got.
So they keep their knee on our neck, it's a sacrifice when we die. George Floyd, y'all killed him, it's no excuses. Oprah, fake 20, really, that shit was gruesome.
You mean to tell me that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves?
They don't like you cause you black.
I'm so tired of protesting, but we can't stop protesting until we get our reparation. And we can't stop buying all up in the store, Gucci and Dior, until we get our reparation. Cause as soon as our money starts spinning, it's ending. They gon' forget everything that we were fighting. They gon' remember why they hated from the beginning. And we gotta go.